My guest can see into the invisible realm. He's seen demons, he's seen angels, he's prayed for people with cancer, AIDS, and they've been healed. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I have to tell you, my guest provokes me to jealousy because from a young child, he's been able to see into the invisible world. He's been able to know things that would happen in the future, and they actually happen. He's been able to pray for people, even leukemia. Tell me about that person with leukemia.
Sid, that was an interesting experience, and that came after I had been walking with the Lord for quite a while. And it was stemmed, a lot of people think that when you're praying for people and there's that kind of an anointing on your life, that you're always this like perfect person. And I think that's how sometimes people think, oh, God would never use me, and you must be perfect. And that's not at all how it works. That was actually stemmed from me actually being depressed, and I wouldn't get out of bed. I'd been believing for a particular wife for some period of time, and I wasn't seeing any results, and I just started saying, you know, this faith stuff, forget it. I'm sick of this. At that point in my life, God was not really dealing with me like a baby. He was dealing with me a little more mature. And so he just kind of gave me five scriptures very quickly. I looked at him and he basically said, okay, now you get up and get out of bed and you go in faith or you stay in that lower realm of depression. And I said, wow, okay, you know, it's that easy to fall out of faith just by letting ourselves, that depression hit us. And I started realizing without faith, it's impossible to please God, and that we're supposed to walk in a constant attitude of faith. And that actually is fighting the fight of faith, or fighting that battle is to literally fight back the discouragement. It's so easy to quit. It's so easy to die.
You know, Don, you're looking at me right now, and there are people in various stages of depression. Well, there is a presence of the Most Holy God that will go right through your television set, and that presence will destroy that depression. So what did God tell you to do beyond get out of bed and grow up?
he said, you stop giving into that. You stand up and dare to believe. I called you to start believing me. So I said, okay, fine. I'm up. I'm out of bed. What do you want to believe for? And God goes, cancer. And I said, cancer? Could we try something a little easier? God immediately lets me see my heart. Like, what? You think you're going to heal cancer? And I go, oh, that's right. You're the healer, not me. And I said, okay, fine. You want to heal cancer? Great. And so I start praying for cancer. He shows me a vision of a little boy with cancer in a hospital. And as I'm praying, I all of a sudden stop and I think, wait a second, you're going to have to be a little more specific about, am I in Fantasy Island? I mean, I'm seeing this vision, or is this real? What do I do beyond this? Just then the phone rings. It's a messianic believer, and she calls up and says, Don, I know that God uses you to heal people, I know you're busy, but would it be too much to ask? One of my students has got leukemia. His mom just called me. He's in the hospital. He's supposed to die in the next 2 days. Would it be too much to ask for you to come down? And I said, not only am I going to come down, I said, God's going to heal him. You would not believe what I just went through at my house hanging out with God. And so a few minutes later.
Now, when you make a statement like that, Don Paul, you are really putting everything on the line, because you didn't say, oh, I'll go and do a nice cosmetic prayer. You said, God's going to heal him. That's pretty strong.
But it's easier that way. When God sets it up and shows you, there's no risk. What's the risk is when you do it and God hasn't shown you.
Okay, you go to the hospital, then what?
Okay, so we make arrangements down to the hospital. As I'm walking down the corridor, now keep in mind, God and me were having a whole experience at home. My depression, you know, doubt, unbelief, getting into a place of faith, then seeing the vision, and I'm really caught up into this atmosphere with God. Now we're at the hospital, and as I'm walking down the corridor toward the boy's door, the Holy Spirit speaks, and he says, now listen, I don't want you to go by what you see. This little boy has been on chemo, radiation. He's not going to look good at all. And I don't want what you see to pull you out, because if you can't stay in this atmosphere where you know I'm going to heal him, you won't be able to bring him to that place. And I don't want you being brought to where he's at, where it's impossible. So I walk into the room expecting to see the worst, knowing God's going to heal him. I walk in, he's all tubed up, everything, barely can breathe, just horrible. And I talked to him for a few minutes. And now this is the first time I prayed for somebody and I didn't feel the presence of God. Now, for those of you that don't understand, sometimes believers will feel the presence of God, sometimes on the like warmth or heat, they'll feel that. This is the first time I did not feel the presence of God before he did a miracle, which is really interesting. God showed me that a lot of times we'll feel that presence to help our faith. But see, he had given me a word, so I knew he was going to do it. See, God's trying to get us to believe even if we don't feel the presence. That's really interesting. So here we are a few minutes later. They're singing songs, worshiping God, and I'm praying for the boy. I pray for his salvation and baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Now, to be filled with God's Spirit.
Yes, to be filled with God's Spirit. And now he's in bed. He's laying down. He barely can breathe. Okay, his lungs are just full of fluid. I reach over and I said, God, clean out his lungs. I figured, in my mind, it'd take 2 to 3 weeks, you know. Instantly, stuff started coming up. All of a sudden, the nurse comes in. The guy's getting his lungs cleaned out. People are worshiping Jesus. Everybody's, you know, and the nurse is like, what's going on in here? Because it looked like it was out of control. And I said, we're done. And we walk out of the room. Now, see, I had told the boy, I said, sit up and act like you're healed. That's when that happened. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we're out of the room. I get a call a few days later. And she says, you're not going to believe this. The little boy's mom just called me. The doctors don't understand what happened. Not only is the little boy healed, he is outside playing with the next door neighbor kids like nothing ever happened.
I've got one question for you.
What?
What happened to your depression? You know what happened to his depression. We'll be right back after this. Don't go away. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Don Paul, and as I said at the beginning, he provokes me to jealousy. He can see in the invisible realm. I mean, I hear God's voice, but the way, I just heard God's voice. You see, when you say it, you hear it. I just heard God's voice. He said that someone has just been healed in their neck and back. And someone without any hope, hope is going to come. There are people with AIDS. When you got full-blown AIDS, there's not much that medical science can do. But there is a doctor that can help you when regular doctors say, there's nothing we can do. His name is the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, or Jesus. AIDS, Don Paul, have you ever prayed for someone with AIDS?
That's interesting. I was part of a ministry team for several years in Los Angeles, California. And one particular person that's coming to mind, I remember taking him to the ministry several times. Now, the first time he's riding in my car, I get a vision. And in the spirit realm, you had mentioned about the demonic as well as angels. In the spirit realm, I saw like a black angel, if you will, very dark, shiny, high and lifted up over his life. And it was a spirit of death that was trying to kill him. I didn't even know he had AIDS at the time. I knew.
Now, do you believe that when someone dies, there's always like a spirit of death that's ready there to take them?
Oh, sure. There's all kinds of spirits. There's all kinds of spirits.
I guess most people, it would blow their mind if they could see into the invisible world.
Well, God told me a long time ago, he said, Don, why do you think I want you obedient? And I immediately heard from all the years of music that I had been involved with, I immediately heard, under my thumb, like Mick Jagger, And
Before you were a believer, you were involved in the music scene.
Right. And so when God was saying, why do you think I want you obedient? And I was thinking, you just want to rule over me. That's what came up. And God said, no. And he opened my eyes and he showed me the demonic realm that's all around us. And he said, I don't let you see this most of the time, because if I did, you wouldn't enjoy your life. Then he showed me like a fist coming out of this realm. And he said, but I see it. And when I say duck, I mean duck. In other words, I'm trying to protect you. And part of the reason I think God lets me see things is because I'm so stubborn sometimes and so intellectual. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't want to do it. Then he shows me the spirit and I go, I understand. No problem.
So you're with this fellow with AIDS.
With this problem. And I see this spirit of death that's looming over him. We start going through things. He actually went through, he came out of a homosexual lifestyle. That process with him went on over several years, because he would come in, get healed, get delivered of the demonic spirits he had opened his soul up to, walk clean for a while, then fall back into the sexual sin, and then walk clean again, then fall, and he would be going through the deliverance, and you know the Bible talks about, you know,
seven times worse.
Right. Luckily, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and at that point, it was just a battle for his soul. And so our team continued to stand with him and others, and as we would battle that through, today, he's a minister. He's got a minister to the homosexual community. He is married. He has got a beautiful child, and none of them have AIDS, none of them have anything, and that's a testimony to our papa.
Tell me something that I'm very, very curious about. You were into rock-type music, you were a musician. Mm-hmm. Now knowing what you know, things that many people watch on television, the music that the teens take into their house, how dangerous is this in the invisible world?
Well, as you know, Lucifer was the head musician. We always hear that. Music, coming from music, I can really talk boldly. I will just say the music I was involved in, which was rock and roll, there was a lot of spirits, a lot of doors that get opened through music. Rebellion enters in. It is powerful in influencing. Something that comes to mind is a lot of times parents will say, turn off that music, it's giving me a headache. Mm-hmm. That headache, most people don't realize, that headache is spiritual oppression. Music is designed, as we worship God or as we praise how wonderful he is, the presence of God inhabits the room. When we lift up the demonic realm through that music, we evoke demonic spirits. We will feel that like a headache. It's not a headache, it's spiritual clogging. It's a heaviness that comes in. And what happens is you can get so under that music that you don't feel that. When I was submitting through my season of healing and deliverance, I remember when my spiritual father came up and said, well, you've kind of got this heavy metal, this rock and roll spirit over you. Something in me said, what is he talking about? That's who I am. I'm a musician. And I heard God say, you came to submit. And I said, okay, fine, I submit to you, but not this guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So the guy's praying for me, and I'm like, he's pushing me down, you know, as I go to the ground. Okay. The next day I get
up. Wait a second. What happened? Explain this to me. What do you mean he's pushing you down?
Well, he's praying for me, and I'm starting to be slain. Or
the spirit of God is putting you down on the floor, is
right,
what you're saying?
But that spirit of rebellion that's in me is saying, it's that voice that's in me is saying, no, this guy is pushing me to the ground. Mm-hmm. Because it's that spirit was just fighting him the whole way down. But I did yield and let that man of God pray for me. The interesting thing was, the very next day, my best friend guitar player came in the room to do a session. When he entered in, whoa, I felt that heaviness. And until I yielded to get delivered of that spirit, I couldn't discern that spirit. And see, a lot of people, the cleaner we get in the spirit, the more we discern other spirits. Isn't that interesting?
What about we watch on television and we see psychics, and we see the exorcist or things along those lines. What could happen to people watching those
things? Did you ever hear the terminology, curiosity killed the cat?
I've heard that.
Okay. Bible says, think on these things, lovely and pure. And it's not that God's trying to keep us from having fun. In fact, when I was first around healing and deliverance ministries, God was saying, Don, it's not that I don't want you to have fun. He said, there are just certain things that are called sin, and if you do them, you open your soul up. And the demonic realm will try and transfer. It's exactly what they used to do with the Jewish sacrifices that they used to do. They would pray, when they would sin, a spirit would enter in, whether it was murder, adultery, whatever. The priests would pray the spirits or the sin into the scapegoat, shut the door alive. And that was how they kept people spiritually clean. And God was saying, it's not I don't want you to have fun, you just need to understand there's a spirit realm that you open your heart and soul up to. And when we look into dark corridors of depravity in different areas, by curiosity, we get ensnared.
Did you hear that? There is a danger, but I've got some good news for you. There's a power that's greater, greater than that danger. We'll talk about it when we come back. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. Next week, we're going to have a man. He calls himself Dr. Purpose. Let's go into the control room and talk about next week's guest, Jamie. Dr. Purpose, what is his purpose?
Dr. Purpose helps people to find their purpose. He says what we love, what makes us angry, what makes us cry, what irritates us, shows us really what our purpose is. I mean, people are always asking, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? But he had an angelic visitation, and that angelic visitation led him to understand these principles about purpose.
And what's so wonderful is it's not just psychological principles, it's supernatural principles that will allow an individual to not only find their purpose in life, but to focus that purpose and make their life count. I've got here in the studio, I don't know what to describe. You keep provoking me to jealousy, but...
Are you Jewish?
Yes, but doesn't the Bible say that you're supposed to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy?
He didn't know you meant you.
Hey, I'm sure that he did. But we were talking about people that either ignorantly or even on purpose open themselves up to the demonic by music or by what they take into their home. But how does someone that has opened that door get rid of what's happened? And even better than that, I know that there's greater power in the name of Jesus than there is in the demonic realm. Explain that, though.
Well, you said it yourself. You said sometimes people do things by omission and commission. Isn't that what they had, the Israel had the sacrifices for? Sometimes people did stuff because they just wanted to. Sometimes they didn't understand that they got spiritually defiled. Okay, well, God loves us so much, He makes a plan and a way to get sanctified or cleansed of the demonic realm, and that's the blood of Jesus. See, Jesus was the final sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. I want to just tell anybody, if you're going through any problems, people, I just met a woman again the other day, hearing voices and hearing all kinds of things, cry out to God. You know, ask Him to come into your heart and to cleanse you with that blood. And when we, by faith, partake of that wonderful miracle that He did, we can partake of the blessings. I've seen demons screaming. You can say anything you want to Him, Muhammad, Buddha, you can say anything. You say the blood of Jesus, those demons say, not the blood, not the blood. And I, at first, thought this whole blood of Jesus, this is funny, but when
Wait a second. I have not seen something like this before. I believe but I haven't seen this with my eyes. In other words, you can see in the invisible realm and see a demon that's sort of attached to someone?
In a healing or a deliverance. Mm-hmm. Yes, on that too, but in a healing or deliverance, what made me a real believer was seeing people prayed for. We had celebrities like Denise Matthews, you know, which is Vanity. She's now a minister. She used to be with Prince. A lot of people came through the ministry, a lot of Hollywood celebrities. And different people would have manifestations as they were going through their healing or deliverance. And the one thing that really stood out to me was how much when they started singing, oh, the blood of Jesus, or saying, the blood of Jesus is against you, devil, loose them, and the demon would answer back, not the blood. I suddenly went, if the demonic hates the blood of Jesus, I'm no dummy. I love the blood of, come on, give it to me, anything to cover me, because it's the blood of Jesus that shields, protects us from that demonic realm.
Are you afraid of the demonic realm?
No, and I respect the warfare that we're in, but I'm not afraid of it. You will not move in power of God if you have fear in you. And a lot of people don't understand this, but God said, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but rather love, strength, and a sound mind. That reveals that fear is a spirit. God says, that the devil controls you all your life through fear. One of the first things God has to do is deliver fear out of you, because you cannot stand in a spiritual battle or a healing. People believe God to get healed, but they're so full of fear that they're going to die, and then they wonder why they have such a problem. You've got to let the Holy Spirit root the fear out, because we are more than a conqueror. Once you know His power, as you yield to God and allow His Spirit to come into you and to fill you with His power and authority. See, the devil's not afraid of me. The devil is scared to death of the presence of God.
Okay, but when sometimes I'll pray and I won't see any difference, and I might think, hasn't worked. I'll say the blood of Jesus and I haven't seen anything happen. What's going on in the spirit realm?
I have seen, the Bible says the wicked melt in the presence of God. So when I was learning my little spiritual Batman utility belt, I wanted as many weapons for my warfare as possible. I found out that worship was one, because see, God inhabits the praises and the wicked melt in His presence. I've seen demonic, when you say the name of Jesus, I've seen visions as God was revealing things to me where the demons literally cringe and pull back. I have found by even going into a bad situation, a woman's about to get mugged or something on the street. If you'll just start yelling out in faith, Jesus, 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 into the situation, the whole atmosphere will change.
But you know what I think, though, Don? I think when you say the name and you don't see a result, you're having an effect and they're just continuing their lie to you.
Right.
But I haven't seen this like you have.
Right. Yeah, the thing is you must continue in faith. And again, you're... you get your faith exercised by, you know, going through the trials and tribulations. We all have faith exercises. Some people say, oh, well, God wouldn't have you believe for a Mercedes. Well, if you were a rich kid and you were given Volkswagens your whole life, for you, a step of faith might be to believe for a Mercedes. If you rode a bicycle your whole life, believing for a Volkswagen would be a big deal. So God does give us different types of faith exercises.
Has God ever given you money supernaturally?
He has met needs as I have given into His purpose. He has come back and taken care of my needs, and yes, He has.
And yet, I don't think you want to say this, but I want to get you to say this. Tell me what you saw happen in your hand.
It's really about leading up to the place, because if I just jump there, then we miss the whole dynamics of what He was teaching me, and I don't know if we have time to go through that. I have tapes, but go in more detail. But I had basically been given into ministries. I was fasting, I was standing, and I had $4 to my name. And I'm at a ministry where I'm meeting the ministry team that I'm part of at the time, and they were asking to do an offering. Now, I had been fasting for 2 or 3 days, and I knew at the end of that meeting, I was going to go buy myself a cheeseburger, Coke, and a fries for that $4. And I heard one of the ministers say, maybe we should put an offering plate in case anybody wants to give. And I went, woo-doo-doo-doo, not me. I know what I'm spending that money on. And a few minutes later, they asked for that, and I really recognized that I was in fear to give, because back then, I thought you would die if you fasted more than 3 days, okay? I end up giving $2 of the $4 that I had into that offering plate. And then I said, okay, God, because what was going through my mind was, wait a second, I'm not playing church here. I walked out of church as a little boy because no miracles were happening. I want to know God. And I told Him, if you'll be the God of the Bible, I'll follow you. So I gave the $2 and I said, this thing either works or it doesn't. And so now I'm in faith. Okay, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And He has me go down to the hamburger place. I was challenged 3 times by unbelief that nothing was ever going to happen. And finally, the presence of God actually multiplied my $4 back, and I actually bought the cheeseburger, Coke, and fries.
Let me just tell you, the interesting thing is, he didn't want to say that because he felt too many people would be skeptical, but he saw the money multiply in his hands. Can you imagine what that would do for your faith? But I believe we're in a time in history where God is going to build you up to be the man or woman He's called you to be. There is a destiny on your life. If you will tell God you're sorry for your sins, believe that blood of Jesus washed your sins away, and say, Jesus, I make you my Lord. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. Someone's back has just been healed in Jesus' name. And that hope that you didn't have before, it's flooding you right now. You're being flooded with supernatural faith right now in Jesus' name.